Over the past several years, many of you know that I have watched very little TV, beyond some sporting events and nightly news. This is with one exception, and that I was an early fan of America's Got Talent. I found them to be very entertaining, especially when young talent have shown exceptional ability. This led me to perchance watch a performance on the internet of Britain's Got Talent. That's their show, a talent show. That was probably 8 years ago. And that show, I'll probably never forget that. Appearing on that show was a middle-aged woman whose appearance was ordinary at best. In fact, her actions and talk were even kind of repulsive, if I recall. She almost wanted you to hit the advance key, for you knew not much would be coming forth from her. It only could be one of those embarrassing performances that sometimes happen on America's Got Talent, which would bring the buzzers alive, the expressions on the judges' faces, as well as the audience, reinforced my reaction. Turn it off. It was a very unnerving silence then, before the accompanying music began. Then all of a sudden, she began to sing. Everybody sat there in silence and was stunned. Her voice was far beyond ordinary. It was pure and beautiful beyond all imagination. And I can remember sitting there in disbelief. The judges and the audience were overwhelmed. By the time she finished, they were all standing on their feet in thunderous applause. She had defied all of their and my preconceptions. It was later revealed that she was never accepted in school as a young person, even bullied, and lived a sort of secluded life of taking care of her mother as a spinster and pretty much a social outcast. Her talent was only recognized by the members of her church, for she would often sing there. But now her life would change forever. She had gotten past that initial false judgment upon the surface appearance which society had placed upon her. In midlife, in the late 40s, Susan Boyle would finally be recognized for the beautiful talent which she has. She has had several well-received CDs as well as having very successful concert tours. 8 years later, she has the estimated worth of $33 million. But the dollar figure is of little importance in comparison to the encouragement she has given so many that they can defy and overcome the adversities in life, especially the adversities of preconceived judgments. She also now has the satisfaction of bringing joy into the lives of countless numbers of people through the beauty of her voice. This only proves that the old saying is very true. You can't judge a book by its cover. How many times do we just turn somebody off by what our preconceived notions about their appearance or about what others think? There is so much more to life than preconceived judgments based upon what is just on the surface. When you draw the curtain aside, there is a whole new world which can be experienced and known. So often the beauty and meaning of life is far beyond the superficiality of what is on the surface. Now, you know, in a very strange way, this is the basic message which Jesus presents in our gospel lesson this morning. It must be understood that to the Jew, the law was central to their relationship with God. To live their life according to the law was what was supreme. They were so consumed by living according to the law that they had to keep defining and redefining the law until it became overwhelmingly detailed and restricted. It became almost humanly impossible to comprehend it all. Today, these books are incorporated in books which fill volumes. The problem became one that a person could be viewed by others to be upholding the law, but their motivation was for all the wrong reasons. Their motivation was for the glorification of themselves in front of others. The law was just the surface of living. The surface. Their inner being was far from being motivated by the basic principles and reasons behind the law. The law was being followed on a superficial level. And it was all out of society's need for appearance. Appearance in front of others and pietistic rituals before God. Perhaps this did accomplish bringing some semblance of order in society, which can be viewed as a good thing. But time and time again, we have evidence that when living according to the law for this reason and this reason alone is only superficial and falls into ruin when enforcement of the law breaks down. We see it in times of natural disasters when law enforcement is extremely limited. Law becomes sidetracked. Chaos, rioting, and looting are often there in their ugly appearance. When the law is just a superimposed restriction or even a ritual on life, it becomes meaningless and even worthless when there is no enforcement. It is only skin deep. This is exactly what Jesus saw and how the law as handed to Moses in the Ten Commandments was being lived. So in his first teaching, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus became revolutionary in what he said. It was not enough to just follow the law out of social necessity or even out of misconceived acts of religious obligation or ritual. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, he said, You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to the judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to counsel. In other words, this commandment goes far beyond what appears on the surface. For we can destroy someone through our words and actions against them. That is murder. He then added, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman with lust has already committed adultery. He then goes on to discuss divorce and swearing falsely in the same matter. This was revolutionary, since it played the true importance of law not upon the law itself, but the total meaning and motivation behind the law. It got beyond the surface. The importance is what the law was founded upon, and that this foundation must be the motivation in life, not the law itself. It is this unseen basis of the law which drives all actions in life and is who we really are. It dictates how we view and treat our fellow human beings and view our relationship with God. Jesus' concept of the law dramatically laid the foundation as to what his forthcoming message from God would be. The message he would proclaim would be the fulfillment of the law. This fulfillment which he would live and proclaim was that of love. Love is the basis. Love is the foundation of the law which God gave to Moses. It is this basis and foundation, when lived, that is when the law is being fulfilled. With love governing life, then there is no desire to hurt. There is no desire to demean. There is no desire to destroy one another in any way. With love being the motivation in life, then there is no need to be told what is right and what is wrong, because love will govern that. Law then becomes a tool of society and not a tool of our relationship with God and each other. Jesus had said he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. This is exactly what he did when he stated his summation of the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the distinction between law and gospel. The law is externally applied to life and is an obligation to be externally followed and motivated by the threat of external pronounced judgments. The gospel, on the other hand, is motivated internally through one's heart, mind, and soul by the compulsion of love. Is living by the gospel, living by love, which is a true indicator of who we really are, for it gets beyond the surface of being only skin deep. Being law-centered is only skin deep and may seem to be beautiful, but when push comes to shove, it fades into the background. The beautiful life is when that hidden motivation of our lives drives us. That hidden motivation is the love as revealed by Jesus. This is when we find joy. This is when we find purpose. And this is when we find meaning in life. That is when we find the joy of drawing that curtain aside. That curtain of preconceptions and surface judgments, in order to see the joy which our God-given life has to offer. That's when we can travel that road. Travel that road to our ultimate destination. God's eternal kingdom. The joy. The joy of drawing that curtain aside of preconceptions. And what a world there is then. And especially when we see it in terms of God's love.